What's going on, FA Nation? Welcome back. This is the Fantasy Alarm NASCAR DFS podcast, streamed through the Better Sports Network. I am Dan Malin, and I am joined, as always, by the three-time FSWA NASCAR Writer of the Year, Matt Sells. Matt, how you doing this weekend? We are previewing Dover. Sunday's race is the Worth 400 from Dover International Speedway. Practice and practice wasn't rained out. Qualifying was. So once again, for what feels like the fourth or fifth time this year, the lineup for Sunday's race is going to be set by NASCAR's metric, which means Kyle Busch, after winning last week, is on the pole this week, and he didn't look great in practice. So what can we really take away, and how do we prepare for Sunday's race with very little to go off of?
It's hard for me to say I have no idea, but there's a little bit of I have no idea going on. Look, practice was not great. Austin Dillon spun out three laps into practice. Daniel Suarez then spun out like three laps after they got going again. Eric Jones spun out in basically the same spot. The track was not taking rubber from the tires. The tires were being corded 20 laps into a run, which is not great. If you want to see a picture, I posted that in the Fantasy Alarm NASCAR Discord channel. So I have not really a clue. Then the rain came. The only thing that did stick got wiped off, right?
Yep.
And then they canceled qualifying. So it's going to start via metric, which is kind of topsy-turvy because it didn't really match any of the practice speeds we actually did see for whatever you want to take from that. So I don't know. And then you get to Sunday's forecast, and it looks horrifyingly bad for racing. It looks like it's going to rain all day, and then in the afternoon it's supposed to be thunder and lightning, which is generally not good for sitting in a metal car. So we may be looking at a Monday race that's set via metric with 20 minutes of track time on Saturday that does not match anything we're about to see on Monday.
Now, we are recording this at between 1:30 and 2 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. At what point do you think NASCAR would just throw in the towel and automatically reschedule the race to Monday? Would they do it later today on Saturday as kind of a convenience to fans and the drivers and teams, or would they wait until the last second on Sunday to make that call?
I'm not sure they're going to announce it during the Xfinity race, which is happening as we speak.
Right.
But I would love to see them call it before people show up on Sunday. Like, you don't want people running and then they're, you know, getting there, trying to make it on time, and then, you know, it just sit in the rain until they call it. Now, I don't remember if there's like a 24-hour window for TV before they can bump it. Like, if they're inside, that they have to at least try to ceremonially start. I don't know.
I thought the rule was that if they were going to move the race forward, they needed 24-hour notification. But if they're going to postpone it and move it to the next day, I don't think it would require that.
I don't remember. I know that they did move the race up.
Right. Yeah.
To 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, I guess to avoid some of the rain, but I don't know how that helps if it's supposed to come all. Like, I don't know if they're hoping to get a pocket and then get half the race in on Sunday, which would absolutely be terrible for DFS, because you're talking about they only have to make it to the end of stage two, basically 200 laps. That's not great either, because then that's cutting laps led. You got to adjust for strategy and. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a cluster. So all of this is to say play lighter than maybe you were hoping to, because we've usually had pretty good runs at Dover in the past. This is a track I feel like we've read pretty well previously. But yeah, I would be playing a little lighter this week because, A, we don't know what the cars actually look like on track at this point. We don't know how the tires are going to hold up. We don't know when the race is going to happen. And we don't know how long they're going to run the race for. If they run it on Sunday, there's almost no way they're getting a full race in, because remember, Dover does not have lights.
Yeah.
So.
Also, it's the intermediate package, and that does not include rain tires or wet tires.
Correct. It's not a short tire.
Maybe which distance? When the initial reports came out that it was going to be the intermediate package, I initially thought, okay, well, this is actually going to produce some great racing, because the one package that has received the most complaints has been the short track package.
Yes.
And Dover's a 1 mile track. But, you know, so we are getting the intermediate package. But, you know, we talked about bankroll management, playing lighter. Does this – because we can't really take too much away from qualifying and that, the lineup was set by the metric, Are you still playing cash games? Or are you mostly just playing tournaments this week? I feel bad because I feel like I've only played cash two or three slates this year. And for the most part, pretty much all of April, the last four or five races, I've only played tournaments exclusively. And I feel like once again, for this week's race, because of no practice, the weather, the tire issue, there may not be much rubber on the track, especially if it's washed out all day Sunday. So I'm mostly just inclined to do a 20 max contest, whether it's going to be the happy hour on DraftKings or the Chrome Horn, and then probably just do like 5 to 10 lineups on FanDuel. Are you playing cash games?
Probably not, right? There's a bunch of ways you could build for cash and kind of try to go for some more PD over lap sled because pure chaos may reign supreme here. But we also don't really recommend cash for Talladega, and I feel like this is kind of setting up a little bit with the unknowns like a Talladega race, right? And by the way, for those of you who don't expect the big one, you can see the big one at Dover. It's happened before. Because if you get somebody who wrecks out and then slides down in front of people,
yep,
you can pretty easily get a big one here at Dover. We're hoping for one or wishing for one, but it can happen. So I am, excuse me, very low on cash this week. Cash games, I should say. And I feel like for tournaments, there's like a million ways you could build your lineups.
Which is good for tournaments.
Yes. Setting it via the metric, and then, you know, a lot of people are going to go, well, we saw this for practice, so I'm going to build based off of this, and then, you know, who knows? Maybe some stuff gets adjusted. I don't know. I do know Austin Dillon's in a backup car. That was announced during practice that he was going to a backup car, so we'll see if that helps or hurts. I mean, it can't hurt anymore, right? He already wrecked one car out and made a guy get a haircut. Which we'll talk about, I guess. Noah Gragson, for those of you who want to know, lost a bet to Austin a bowl cut.
Yeah, it's bad.
Put a bowl on the head and shave around it.
Yeah. Like, there's no fade. It's just like, yeah, all the way around and then just a bowl on top. It's bad.
It's bad. Is it?
He owns it, though.
Is it better than the mullet or worse than the mullet? I don't know.
It's worse. It's worse. The mullet at least makes a comeback. I don't see how we ever make a Friar Tuck like bowl cut come back.
It is. He does look like Friar Tuck. He does. Yeah. He does. Excellent Robin Hood reference.
All right. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on before? Because, I mean, I figure we would just – because we've already talked about the weather, the courting, the practice issues, the line metric. But all in all, like, Dover itself is a pretty unique track. And we can say this almost every week. But, you know, we always try to find comparable tracks. Like, road courses, it's so easy. Super speedways, it's easy. Intermediates, it's easy. Dover is tough because it's a one-mile track. It's an oval. So it's shaped like Homestead, but it's not as – long, big in size as Homestead, and you don't see the same tire fall off as you do at Homestead, because, you know, Dover is, it's a concrete track, so it's similar to Nashville, I would say, but also it's a different distance and a different shape, and Bristol as well, and I think Martinsville has, I think, the upper
ground. Yeah, Martinsville is concrete in the, the corners and asphalt in the straights.
So it really is like a unique track in its own right, and so, you know, we can pull data from other tracks, but at the same time, like, you know, it's a weird track and we don't get practice, or we can't really take anything away from practice. So, like, are we mostly just relying on track history and what we saw last year in this package if we can get this race run on Monday?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's to be honest, we're all hoping for a Monday race at this point. So we at least get good weather. We get warmer temperature, so there's more rubber on the track. Better shot at a full race. I know for a lot of people to watch it, it sucks, but I'd rather have a full race than a convoluted weather-related one where they kind of sort of get 200 laps in, but it takes 7 hours and there's 14 rain delays. Like, I don't think anybody wants that. So in terms of how we're looking at this track, it's hard to go based off of, like, this is what makes this track so tricky, right? By distance-wise, you would think it fits pretty well with short tracks, right? Fits in with Martin, sure. You know, fits in with Richmond, fits in with Phoenix, a little bit with Martinsville, although that's decidedly flatter. you know, if Bristol hadn't been a dirt race, it would fit in with Bristol. But it's an intermediate package, which was not run on those tracks. So it's, I think I'm going with you. I think we're looking at the two races we saw here last year. Because again, it was next gen car last year. It's the same package here as it was last year. And I think we can go a little bit based off of some tire wear stuff that we've seen. A little bit, not like the aggressive tire wear tracks, not like a Darlington or an auto club, but I think a little bit of Homestead.
Okay.
Because in terms of shape, it's pretty close. Homestead is pretty reasonable on the tire comparison. But again, if we get corded tires after 20 laps, it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to start breaking down the field based on this metric and who we like for potential dominators and all that?
Yeah.
All right. Kyle Busch, I believe, was just inside the top 30 in terms of practice speed, but because there is no qualifying and he won last week, he has two wins on the season. He is on the pole for this race, and 9,600 does seem a little cheap for Kyle Busch. Would you say it's fairly likely that he can get out, possibly win the entire first stage? And, you know, I've seen a lot of early projections, especially on Twitter, where a lot of people think he's comfortably going to lead about 60 to 80 laps. If he does that and he finishes in the top 10, he's going to put up a good score. If he can finish in the top five, he's probably going to end up in the optimal lineup. are you on board with playing some Kyle Busch this week, or are you a little unsure?
I know we're not supposed to take what we saw from practice because we're pretty sure it's not going to matter, but I would have liked to have seen him run better than 29th and need a 6-minute stop to make adjustments on cars, not to mention Austin Dillon, his teammate, had basically the same setup and couldn't stay on track for 3 laps. So that's a little disconcerting. Also, the fact that he previously had a run where we avoided him in the Spring Dover race because for whatever reason he just didn't run well in the Spring Dover race. And here last spring, he finished 27th. He started 6th, finished 27th. In the fall, he's had pretty good runs here, right? He has started to change his luck a little bit in the spring races. But on the pole, I mean, I would take a shot at him, but I'm not loading up. Because there's a decent chance that he gets
passed by Bell.
Passed by Bell, or Keselowski's run pretty well here.
Keselowski actually looked pretty good in practice too, but again, what do we really take away from it?
Right, but I mean, if we look at, you know, Keselowski previously, in the last 8 races here, Keselowski has a better average finish than Kyle Busch. He's got, you know, fewer top 10s, but a better average finish, so we'll see. Plus, not to mention, if there's a competition caution, that could affect Kyle Busch.
I'm curious though, how do you feel about the Hendrick drivers this week? I know they are the 3 most expensive drivers on DraftKings. Kyle Larson starts P18, he's 11,500. Byron is starting P8, 11,200, and Chase Elliott is starting 10th at 10,800. I know Larson made your betting piece. Do we think that each of these drivers have a legitimate shot at eventually getting up to the front and leading some laps? Byron seems to be a logical guess because he's just been fast almost everywhere this year. But, you know, we've also said, like, this is the kind of the general consensus this week is that this is a track that Kyle Larson can run very well at. And even during the practice session, he seemed very pleased with the car, and I don't think they're going to require too many adjustments. He probably qualifies inside the top 5 if they have qualifying, but because of last week's result and the lineup being set by the metric, he starts P18.
Yeah, I'm all over Larson this week. He's finished in the last 4 races that he's run here. He's finished 3rd, 1st, 2nd, 6th.
Okay.
So now, granted, he has started inside the top 10 in each of those. So there is that he hasn't necessarily had to move up to finish where he finished. But it's not like he's incapable of moving up. We've seen him make moves on tracks where nobody else has been able to pass. Like Martinsville, late. He passed 5 dudes to go win that race.
Yeah.
He has obviously won here before.
I feel like he did the same thing at Richmond. I didn't watch Richmond because I was traveling that day, but it did sound like he once again did not have the best car, but still managed to win.
Right. So,
and this week he has a car that he loves.
Yeah. I mean, I like Larson. I would take I think a lot of people are going to take the price savings on Barry rolling off 23rd in Alex Bowman's car. Because for those of you who missed it, Alex Bowman is out for the next 3 to 4 weeks due to a sprint car wreck this week, in which I'm pretty sure he broke a vertebrae, is what I heard. So hopefully that's healing well for him. He appears to be in good spirits, which is great. Josh Berry is back in an HMS car. Dude popped off a couple of top 10s in Chase Elliott's car. And, oh, by the way, Josh Berry won this race in Xfinity last year.
Yeah, I think the other time he's run two races here. Obviously, the one right now is his third race here, but he's won one race and he finished second in the other.
Yeah, so he knows how to move around at places that it's tough to pass. Richmond, obviously, not the same package, but he did start 30th and finish second in that race in an HMS Chevy in the Cup Series. Phoenix, he finished 10th. Again, was a short track package, but hard to pass. Dover can be tough to pass. So, I think a lot of people are going to take the cost savings, play Josh Berry. I think he's probably the second most played HMS guy. I think Larson is one, Berry's two, and then it's split between Byron and Chase.
Who are some other drivers before we go into the PD plays and just guys that we would target for overall finishing position, including the position differential? Are there any other drivers that you'd like to potentially collect some Dominator points, whether it's Ryan Blaney starting P3? I still have concerns about Fords in this package just because I think that there might just be too much drag on the cars. I do like Christopher Bell, but at the same time, you know, I am tempted to – I feel like – Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. are due for a win.
This is Truex's
next month.
It's Truex's track, man. This guy has.
Oh, this is one of his 9 home tracks.
Well, it is one of his 9 home tracks. This is technically, I think, the closest one to where he grew up, because this is Dover, Delaware. He grew up in Southern New Jersey, so pretty sure this is closest. But no, Truex has been ridiculously consistent here in the last 8 races. He has finished 4th, 15th, 1st, 2nd, 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 19th, and 12th. And by the way, that 12th, he was 4th before he wrecked out racing, I believe it was Ross Chastain, for 3rd last fall. Well, not wrecked out, but like spun and then finished 12th. So if you count that as a 4th, the dude has, what is that, 6 4th place or better finishes in the last 8 races? Guy knows what he's doing, and it seems to be it does not matter what has happened previously. And by the way, a few of those first and seconds happened on Monday races.
Nice.
So, nice. And for those of you concerned about, oh, he's starting 17th, here's the thing. In 2 of the last 3 races, he started 19th and 18th, and he's finished 2nd and theoretically 4th, although 12th. But he was battling for 4th when starting 19th and 18th. So... dude knows how to move up. It hasn't seemed to matter what's happened elsewhere. Hopefully he doesn't get stuck on scuffs late in the race. But I really like Truex this week.
When I saw your post in the NASCAR Discord and you said there are only 9 sets of tires and that we were getting courting after 18 to 20 laps, my mind initially went to what is Martin Truex's team going to do?
Buy tires mid-race. I don't know. Get them shipped in. I have no idea. That's a legitimate concern. Truex and Hamlin have just been way too consistent here to not have wins recently. So I like that. I think Bell's going to be popular simply to try to overtake Kyle Busch and lead a bunch of laps. I don't know what to do with 2311 this week, to be honest. I like the Toyota camp in general, but I don't know what to do with those guys. Here's my question. Is it Reddick doesn't like the track, or is it that Chevys haven't done well here, although anybody outside of HMS like has run well but hasn't had wins because HMS is dominated Dover. But like his runs – in the Chevys haven't been good, but Kyle Busch's runs in Toyota have been, and now they basically swapped seats. So, like, do we still trust Kyle Busch's track history and attribute, like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do.
Like, is it Tyler Reddick's track history or that he didn't like Chevys? Or is it Kyle Busch's track history or that Toyotas gave him a boost?
Well, it's like, you know, we talk about Homestead kind of being a loose comparison to Dover and all these other tracks, like Darlington and Bristol. And, like, you know, you can imagine, like, Tyler Reddick having success there. So I think, like, this could be a unique situation for him to possibly be optimal in the GPP. Like, I don't ever want to rule him out because based on pure talent alone, like, he has it.
Right.
He can win. So I'm not going to shy away from playing him in a couple tournament lineups because he just does have a monstrous ceiling. Works really well in two Dominator builds. He's only $9,000 and there's win equity there. So I might chalk it up to maybe his previous team not running well there, and I'd be willing to go back and give him another shot because at the same time, I don't anticipate significant rostership or ownership, you know, heading his way for tournament contests.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would take a shot. I would take a shot on Tyler Reddick. I mean, starting seventh, hard not to. Not looking at the camera just then, my kid busted in because they hate me today, apparently.
No worries. We got about 8 minutes left. Who are some drivers that we can target for position differential? Joey Logano is only 8,800. That's going to be a very popular play. He starts P26, but at the same time, it seems like Chalk Logano has busted all too often this year.
Yeah. It concerns me that Penske started with a clean sheet. Like they said during practice coverage that they have like one top five as a team in the last 10 races here or something to that effect. And that they huddled this week and started with a completely clean sheet for the setup. That's concerning. And then you don't even really get to get time on the track to find out if the
sheet is right.
Works. I mean, I don't know. I feel like for 3 years now I can't read Joe Logano and I don't know why. But good Lord, he's going to be popular because he's a big name guy at 8,800 bucks starting 26th. And people are going to say, well, in Richmond, he finished seventh, and at Martinsville, he finished second, and whatnot. Okay. Again, not the same package. So while it is short track, and this is a shorter distance, and at Phoenix, he finished 11th. Okay. But again, I don't know. I mean, I'll put him in the playbook because I'm going to kind of have to.
Yeah, you almost have to mention just to mention it from a position differential perspective.
And I could be entirely wrong on him this weekend. It's not like I'm completely fading him. I just can't get a clean enough read. Like, would you rather play Ty Gibbs or Logano?
Logano. I mean, they're start – well – yeah, you know, it's Logano. Like, at the end of the day, I just have to, you know, play the guy who's better. And I understand the guy that I believe is better is 1,700 more, and he starts right behind Ty Gibbs. But I would rather put more faith in Logano because also in Ty Gibbs' price range, I could play Ryan Preece, Michael McDowell, maybe Eric Almirola, who's only 6,500, starting P19. And that's a good position. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is that this is a track. Competition caution will help this. But over the long green flag run of the race, if this is run on Monday, cars get lapped easily and very quickly. And yep. Eric Almirola is at least starting in a spot inside the top 20 where – and he's cheap and he's on a good team where he can hold his position and move up enough to really get to 5 or 6X value and sneak away with maybe a top 12. Now, I do have concerns because I don't think he's necessarily performed great in this particular package this year. But he is a guy that I – go to in this range because Ty Gibbs, great equipment, good young, relatively green young driver, but I do think that he could potentially get lapped, and I have a little more faith in Logano staying on the lead lap.
I mean, that's fair. You're talking about a NASCAR champion compared to a rookie, basically.
Like, an Xfinity champion.
he drove half a year, basically, in the Cup Series last year, but he's still, you know, basically a rookie at this point. Austin Cindric scares the bejesus out of me this week.
Yeah, I can't really bring myself to play him.
if we're looking at Penske and we're saying, okay, well, they're doing a complete rebuild on their setup here, at least Blaney and Logano have had success. At least they are several years into a Cup career and have proven that they can make good out of bad cars.
He has had a brutal month.
What?
He's had a brutal month.
Yeah.
He finished 26th last week, whatever. It's Talladega. You know, started 15th. I want to say I believe he wrecked.
That's a pretty safe bet at Talladega.
The week before that, he started 25th and finished 33rd in Martinsville. The week before that, for the dirt race at Bristol, started 7th, finished 19th. Richmond started 6th, finished 28th. This is kind of a stupid argument because we shouldn't judge a driver by their DFS output. But he only has one top 20, and in the month of April, in four races, he has a total of 10 fantasy points.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I mean, there's a reason why he keeps dropping in price.
It's going to be difficult for anyone to really justify him, aside from, like, deep field. If you're building 150 lineups, yeah, you should probably get him into, like, 5 to 7% of your builds. But, again, like, the way the lineup shook out this week is actually really interesting because – you scroll to the way bottom where we typically will try to find some punts just to squeeze in at the bare minimum, and maybe they can get 18 to 22 fantasy points.
Ty Dillon's not playable at 16.
He's 4,700, but he's starting P16. JJ Yelly is starting 21st. BJ McLean. We have three of the four drivers that are priced below 5K, and they're starting in the top 25. And you have to assume that, one, all three are going to get lapped, and two, they're probably going to go backwards anyway. So we can't really go to these sub 5K punts. Now, there are some cheap drivers that you can consider, like a Corey LaJoie, who's 5,000, and he can sneak into the top 20. Harrison Burton's kind of interesting, but I always hate playing Harrison Burton.
Todd Gilliland
is probably the best one in this range, under 6K.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Jones is unplayable starting 11th.
Yeah.
He just is, especially with Austin Dillon being a free square at 6,300.
But in five of his last six races, Todd Gilliland – now, granted, he's qualified pretty well for these, and, you know, not 35th. But Gilliland, in five of his last six races, has finished top 15 with three top 10s in that span.
Yep.
So very playable. Still very affordable, too.
And by the way, if you want to talk about a high tire wear intermediate package track, how about Auto Club? He started 25th and finished 17th.
There you go.
And he was $5,000, put up 34 points, so almost 7X value.
Real quick, because we have less than 2 minutes to go, I am curious, what are your thoughts on colleague racing this week? AJ Allmendinger, P29 at 6K. Justin Haley, P25 at 5,600.
I don't know.
Sorry. All right. Do you want me to give you an easier one?
No. I mean, we can talk this through. So far, outside of the dirt race, I haven't really liked what I've seen from Justin Haley.
Okay.
We keep looking to him. Like, Vegas was a pretty decent race. Okay. But we keep looking to him as a guy like, oh, he's been solid, and he ran well here last year and whatnot. And he just doesn't, he just keeps, not that they're terrible, but they're just not.
Even last week at Talladega, you thought, like, there's upside for better than an 18th place finish. And he still paid off his price tag on DraftKings. But, you know, he was offering PD. He is a super speedway specialist, very good on super speedways. He's won at Daytona in the Cup Series, and he won plenty of times in Xfinity. But, you know, we haven't really seen that this year, whether it was Atlanta, Daytona, or Talladega. Are there any drivers that you want to touch on before we go? Because we got about a minute left.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'll save them for the – you know, anybody I'm going to sneak into the playbook, we'll save that for that one. I will have projections out Saturday evening. Playbook will be out Saturday afternoon. Core plays probably banking on Sunday unless we hear that it's, you know, put off till Monday. Then I'll probably wait on core plays. But, yeah, other than that, I think Play light. We have Kansas next week, which is a phenomenal mile and a half track.
Get your 23X iShares ready.
I mean, Toyotas were fast there last year.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, I would say bankroll management for, like, Kansas. And then, you know, we've got a couple other more predictable tracks coming up, like Charlotte at the end of May, whatnot. So, with that, good luck, folks. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't help you more, but nobody has a read on this race.
I've been
chatting with other folks on Twitter, and nobody has a read on this race.
Appreciate the advice, as always, Matt. Best of luck to you this week, and best of luck to the FA Nation.